This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.theparish.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, January 21st, 2018, the third Sunday after Epiphany, by Father William Doc Holliday.
The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. The words of my mouth, meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We need to set the foundation really early, like initially, on this whole homily over what our Lord says when he says directly, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. These are not a philosophy. They are not the teachings of a church. They are the words from the lips of Almighty God himself. And it sounds in no way as if he is dialoguing with anyone. It does not sound as if he is debating his position with anyone. He is making a direct confrontational proposition. The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. Because these are so direct, confrontational words of our Lord Jesus Christ, we need to understand that it is not just a matter of hearing them, even remembering them and being able to recite them verbatim. This is the message that you should carry throughout your lives. As Catholics, the Great Commission is not for us a suggestion. It is a mandate of God Almighty that we communicate his message. The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. Now, if you're sitting at lunch with someone and the opportunity arises and you feel led by the Spirit to talk about your faith, you're probably going to shut everything down if you present it like that. Yeah, it's going to be a real damper on lunch. Hey, don't you know the time is fulfilled? The kingdom of God is at hand. You need to repent and believe the gospel. Yeah, those words, probably the same words in an appreciation of what they mean, spoken in context and spoken colloquially to these people, that is the message that you must present. And when I say colloquially, I don't mean colored up. I don't mean euphemisms. I mean we need to be as direct as our Lord Jesus Christ was, because the message is that imperative. The message is of absolute necessity. The time is accomplished is how he starts this out. The time is accomplished. What's that? What's the time? What's that about? Before our Lord Jesus Christ was incarnate, we had the law. We had the law, and it was a good thing. It's a good thing even after Jesus Christ. The New Testament tells us, St. Paul speaking says, that if I didn't have the law, I wouldn't know sin. I wouldn't know what I was doing wrong if I didn't have the law. The law is imperative, but we can't keep it. For three millennia, the Jews have been trying to keep the law to earn their way to heaven, to gain favor with God, and learn time and time again, they can't do it. We can't do it as individuals. We are not able to completely and in all its fullness keep the law of God. And any violation of the law of God will send us to hell. That, yes, is a real place, and there are people there, many. The time is accomplished. This message is imperative. When our Lord says that the time is accomplished, he's talking about himself. It's not about law-keeping, dotting I's and crossing T's. As important as that is, you have to present me to people. I have not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. I have fulfilled it for you. And now to honor me for fulfilling it for you, I expect you to keep it to the best of your ability. And when you drop the ball, you run to the confessional. I even give you that to help you out. The time is accomplished. This is something that needs to be said right here and now. It starts in here with ourselves, and it's got to begin after it's in here in our families. I get almost nauseous when I hear Catholics say, well, you know, I really didn't push that with my kids because I wanted them to make their own decisions later on. Not one of us has license to make our own decisions in these matters. We have to do what our Lord says. To approach God in your own terms is Protestantism. It's not Christianity. We do what he says. The time is fulfilled in our Lord Jesus Christ, and by his grace we've been called to him, and now we have to act like it. And acting like it is telling others this message. Even when Mark presents this, notice he doesn't, at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, he says, the kingdom of heaven is here, the time is fulfilled. He starts out with, after John was arrested, what has that got to do with what he said? It's got everything to do with what he said. John was the last Old Testament prophet of the law. And he is arrested and precluded from teaching that anymore. And our Lord Jesus Christ starts to speak. That's why the Holy Spirit does this through St. Mark, the gospel writer. The time of the old law, as important as it is, as I said, to keep it. We don't keep it because we think it merits us a place in heaven. Because if that were the case, we couldn't do it. We do it to honor Jesus Christ for fulfilling the law for us. And we need to tell people here and now. It is not a decision to be made when you get old and think you might die, or when you get sick, or when things are bad in your life. It's for right here, right now, no matter what the circumstances may be. It is imperative. The time is accomplished. Time for thinking about stuff is over. Time for contemplation is over. Look at me, Jesus Christ, because the kingdom of God is at hand, and he is the personification of that kingdom. Kingdom of God, another abstract sort of concept for us. What is the kingdom of God? It's this, it's that, it's that. It's all of the things. It's all of the aspects. And as you get closer to him, the kingdom becomes more and more prevalent and manifest in your life. It starts out with just by what we see. The scriptures tell us, Old and New Testament, that when we walk outside, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth forth his handiwork. It tells us that when you look outside and you walk through the woods, you look at a starry sky, you see an infant, you just see the order of things, that you are without excuse. You can deny it till you're blue in the face, but you are without excuse before God in not knowing his glory and his graciousness and the provisions that he makes through the natural order. In the book of Esther, it says in her prayer, O Lord, King who rulest over all things, for the universe is in thy power. Everything that we see is his kingdom. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. Everybody, everybody is judged by that alone. We, as Catholics, have been given a snippet of the invisible kingdom. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are the ones who can legitimately look at other people and say, the Lord is my shepherd. I like the older English version better. The Lord ruleth me. He is my King. Only people that have had their eyes opened by His grace are enabled to say, the Lord is my shepherd. Not recite the words, but to believe it and hear and proclaim it to others that it is a necessity for Him to be their shepherd also. That is only for us, believers, who have been enabled by the Holy Spirit to do that. And then there is that kingdom that we think about after we die. We want to get to heaven and hear our Lord say, come, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. We want to hear those words. And if we want to hear those words, if you're going to hear those words, you need to live a life that manifests this message of our Lord that the time is accomplished, that the kingdom of heaven is at hand, and we need to repent and believe the gospel. We do that because we are members of His church, and in His church we see all three of those parts of the kingdom come together. We see things that we can touch and feel, pulpits, pews, the sacraments, we see things. But at the same time, there is the invisible kingdom that's integral with them, the Eucharist. Our Lord Jesus Christ, under the tangible, objective, sacramental forms of bread and wine, but no longer bread and wine, the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ. We in the church have a microcosmic presentation of the visible and invisible kingdom. Every time we come in here on a Sunday Mass or on a feast day, what do we say? I believe in God the Father, Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible. Our lives, we have a foot on both sides as Catholics in the Catholic Church, the visible and invisible kingdom of God of which we are part. And we need to try to ensure that we get others in here also. And this is the hard sell. What he says lastly, repent and believe the gospel. Both. Repentance and believe. Repentance, as I always put out, every time we hear that word, I always watch your definition. Repentance does not mean you are sorry for something. God could care less if you're sorry. He wants you to turn away from it. He wants you not to do it again. That is the word repent. That's what he means. We must repent and believe. Our churches are full of people who believe this, believe that. They believe, but they haven't repented. They haven't reoriented their life to be integrated with that of our Lord Jesus Christ and to manifest this message that is so important for others to hear. It is hard to look at people and say, you need to repent and believe the gospel. Don't let that last part be, believe. Here's a billboard on I-4. Believe! Exclamation point. What? Believe what? The gospel. The gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. God has sent His Son because we are sinners and we are in need of a Savior, and He hung on a cross and died for us in atonement for our sins. That's the gospel. Salvation through Jesus Christ and Him alone is the gospel. Not Moses, not Muhammad, not Buddha, no philosophy, Jesus Christ and Him alone. Oh, I've got friends who are this and I've got friends who are that. They need to know the truth. You have the truth and you cannot be selfish and keep it to yourself. Oh, that's hard, tough. You are not expected to be lazy because I say so. How about the Roman Catechism? You have not been called to live a life of ease and laziness. It is not enough to pray. We must also use our best exertions. We need to exert ourselves. We need to exert our influence. We need to put ourselves out for the kingdom of Christ. Another thing St. Mark does in this, okay, this message sounds so deep. How come we go immediately into him calling apostles? How does that relate? He's demonstrating to us what kind of people he calls to himself, or how we ought to be when he calls them to ourselves. Did he call authorities in the synagogue? Did he call philosophers? Did he call the thinking people of the day and the well-off, the well-educated? Who did he call? Fishermen. He called hardworking, struggling, committed people to follow him. We must all be like that. That's what he expects of us. His call also shows no dialogue. Here, let me show you how much better it'll be if you follow me than to be a fisherman. Nope, follow me. They had free will. They could have said no. No, I'll just stick with the fishing. The Holy Spirit opened their eyes and their hearts to the truth claims of our Lord Jesus Christ, and they just felt an attraction and they followed him, and they were completely committed to the point where we have the example of two of them who left their father. The Holy Spirit doesn't say that by accident. And it's not a matter of, oh, if you don't leave your father, you're not really committed. It's your priorities. Our Lord Jesus Christ says, if you love father or mother or brother and sister, son or daughter, more than you love me, you are not worthy of me. It's priorities. He expects us to put ourselves out for him. This is part of this repentance. This is part of our conversion experience. He wants us to be committed. Jonah was committed. He went by himself through this huge city of Nineveh and told them they were going to be up, burned up in 40 days. Not an easy thing to do. Why didn't they just kill him so they didn't hear it anymore? No, they repented in sackcloth and ashes. Even their animals fasted. Why? Because Jonah said so? No, because they were moved by the Holy Spirit. That's why. Through the words of God's prophet. Was Jonah committed by doing it? Yep. What was the story before that? What was his commitment level there? I'm going to get on this boat because I don't want to go there and tell them this message. Cost him a few days in the belly of a fish. All right? We're supposed to be committed, and you sit back and go, well, I'm not that committed right now. Fix it. Fix it. That's what this is all about. Fixing it, getting closer to him. St. John Paul II calls this constant conversion, statu conversionis, the state of conversion. You know, a lot of people like, oh yeah, I remember when I was in a tent meeting or a revival when I was 15 or 16. I remember when I went to this retreat. You know, something profound may have happened to you there, but it doesn't stop there. That's not when you repented and come. You're always repenting, or should be. You should always be reorienting. Every day you should be confronted with something in your life that needs to be fixed. It's hard to do that. But as your approach with these situations, you must. That's commitment. Today we're going to see the confirmation of two young men. And you see these two, they were members of churches before. Not enough. Not enough. Our Lord Jesus Christ instituted one church on the back of Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. Every other thing that calls itself is not his. It's something else. His church is the Roman Catholic Church. Could these guys have stayed where they were and been in the comfy zone and just live their life as this, that, or the other thing? No. It wasn't good enough. They're committed. They're committed and they stepped out. And they're doing something today that flies in the face of what a lot of their friends believe, teach, what their families believe and teach. They're doing the right thing because of the commitment of which I speak right now. It's an objective manifestation of this isn't church talk. It happens right here, right now, in real people's lives. For as many foibles as the Catholic Church has, all her wrinkles and blemishes, there's people that still want to be here. Kind of dumbfounds me on occasion. Why is it? Because it's real great. No, because of the Holy Spirit. That's why. It takes effort. Why do we put so much effort? I'll wind this up with this. We don't have one bit of a problem putting forth maximum effort in this world to get the most fleeting of lauds and glories from man. I, in my past experience, have watched men, and I mean this literally, ruin their careers, ruin their physical health, in trying to be able to do something where they could put a particular badge on their uniform that said they were part of something else, that they were part of something better. They wrecked their lives. I mean that their livelihood is gone now because they wanted people to look at them and go, oh, he's that. And they wrecked their lives. You know, praise God, you know, I did the same thing. You know, and what do I have to show for it now for that effort that I put forth for 28 years? I had a bunch of pictures. I had a bunch of pictures. They were pretty cool pictures, I have to admit, I must say. I'm not even the same person anymore. They wrecked their lives at one point in time. I wrecked my lives over a period of time as far as my health goes. You know, back in those days, I'm running miles doing this, I'm jumping over this and climbing this. I can't get up off the floor after playing with the dog anymore for some pictures. Why don't we put that kind of effort into our eternal destiny? It really defies logic. To reorient ourselves into understanding that we need to do this constantly, this reorientation, is our life of faith. That is practical Catholicism. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.